Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, The Character of Bharat Maharaj, Text 26. This is a very long Sanskrit prose text, so I'm just going to read the English. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, in this way, Bharata Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of a deer. Due to the fruit of results of his past deeds, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity, and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruit of activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncontrollable affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him." Purport. As will be seen in later verses, Bharata Maharaj, at the time of death, would be forced to accept the body of a deer due to his attraction for the deer. In this regard, a question may be raised. How can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activities? In Brahma Samhita 5.54, it is said, "Karmani nirahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam." Quote, "For those engaged in devotional service, bhakti bhajana, the results of past misdeeds are indemnified." End quote. According to this, Bharata Maharaj could not be punished for his past misdeeds. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharata purposefully became over-addicted to the deer and neglected his spiritual advancement. To immediately rectify his mistake, for a short time he was awarded the body of a deer. This was just to increase his desire for mature devotional service. Although Bharata Maharaj was awarded the body of an animal, he did not forget what had previously happened due to his purposeful mistake. He was very anxious to get out of his deer body, and this indicates that his affection for devotional service was intensified, so much so that he was quickly to attain perfection in a Brahmana body in the next life. It is with this conviction that we declare in our Back to Godhead magazine that devotees like the Goswamis living in Vrindavan who purposely commit some sinful activity are born in the bodies of dogs, monkeys, and tortoises in that holy land. Thus, they take on these lower life forms for a short while, and after they give up those animal bodies, they are again promoted to the spiritual world. Such punishment is only for a short period, and it is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. Omigyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeve Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we see the importance of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure devotee situated in the parampara, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. And this knowledge has to be received in the proper disciplic succession. If we just try to understand the verses on our own, you know, we might come to some wrong conclusion. We might not really properly understand things in the context of the whole philosophy. So that is why Srila Prabhupada wrote his purports to Bhagavad Gita, to Srimad Bhagavatam, to Chaitanya Charitamrita, because if one just tries to understand things independently from the text itself, one is not likely to understand things properly. So therefore, there's a commentarial tradition. It's not that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is the only Gaudiya Vaishnava, you know, to write some commentary. You know, there's a whole commentarial tradition, you know, which he consulted. He often said one has to follow in the footsteps of, you know, the previous acharyas. So, you know, I was thinking, you know, if you just read, you know, the translation here or the verse itself, you would think that what happened to Maharaj Bharata was the result of his past karma, because that is what the, you know, the translation says. If it were not due to his past fruit of activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer? So, you know, just reading this on one's own, one might conclude, well, the reason he was attracted to the deer was because of some past karma. But in the purport, we get a more detailed picture. Srila Prabhupada says that according to the Brahma Samhita, devotional service burns up, you know, the past karma. And we learn in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma and Pratyaja, Mamikam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, Mokshayishyami Masuchaha. Krishna says that for one who surrenders unto him, he removes Sarva Papebhyo, all the sinful activities. So what are sinful activities? Those are the results of past karmic activities. Yeah, that's what's meant by that. And you know, we often hear at the time of initiation, the karma of the disciple is vanquished. You know, Srila Prabhupada would often give the example of, you know, there may be a fan, electric fan going, and then you pull out the plug. So at the time of initiation, then the plug is pulled out. The fan may rotate for some time, you know, as it slows down and finally comes to a halt. But it's not like karma that ordinary people get. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains is that the real cause of Maharaj Bharata's taking the body of a deer is not past karma, but it's because in his practice of devotional service, he purposefully committed some offense, some indiscretion. He purposefully became over addicted to this deer to the extent that he began to purposefully neglect practice of spiritual activities. Now, it may also happen sometimes that not because of purposeful neglect, but because of past conditioning or something like that, that a person may fall down from spiritual activities. But in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna says that such a person is still to be regarded as saintly. especially if they're able to recover from the momentary lapse. But sometimes there's some deliberate fault. Several times in, you know, the purport here, you know, Srila Prabhupada is saying he purposefully neglected his practice. You know, he purposefully became overly attached or overly addicted to this deer. So then there has to be some result, but it's not a normal sort of karmic reaction to fruit of activities. Said that the reason he was put into the body of the deer was to increase his attraction for pure devotional service. So Krishna had some plan there. So he purposefully neglected, you know, devotional service. So to remind him and to increase to remind him of the correct path and to increase his attraction for it, it was arranged that he would go into the body of a deer, not in the way that a normal person would go into the body of an animal, because when a normal person, simply as a result of bad karma, goes down into the lower species of life, they forget their previous existence in the human form of life. But he didn't do that. when he entered the body of a deer, he had full memory of his past existence, and he was aware of exactly what his fault was. And he became very eager to resume the path of devotional service in a more pure and determined way. And therefore, in his next life, after the deer body, he took birth in a Brahmin family as Judd Bharat and achieved perfection there. Of course, that's a whole complicated story in itself, not so easy to understand, as we'll see. So, so in one sense, you know, we can be encouraged, you know, by this story of Judd Bharat, because it shows that yes, we may in our practice of devotional service become sidetracked or deviated, but somehow or other Krishna will put us back on the path and we'll be able to continue our devotional service. But still, the warning is there, because it would be better just to stick to the path and not have to go through these detours. As Srila Prabhupada mentions here, sometimes if a devotee in a sacred dham like Vrindavan dham commits some offense, such a devotee may have to take one birth in the dham as an animal, a monkey, a hog, a dog, a tortoise. If you go to Sri Vrindavan Dham, you can see tortoises in the Yamuna River, tortoises in the Radhakund and Shamakund and places like that. Of course, the monkeys are very visible. So, if one commits some offense or deviates from the path of pure devotional service, that may be the result. It's encouraging in one sense that, yes, after one life like that, one goes to the spiritual world. But it's still a warning. That one life may not be so nice. So one has to think very carefully about these things, because there are consequences to actions. It's like the body we have now. It's a consequence of previous activities. Some people, they have some memories of past life. Srila Prabhupada mentions this in his Srimad Bhagavatam purports. There are some people called Jatismara, which means they have some memory of a past existence, just like in the body of the deer. Maharaj Bharata is going to remember his past existence. It's also stated that in sometimes in the womb, the child in the womb can remember many past existences and prays to remain Krishna conscious. But then the trauma of birth removes those memories, and in the forgetful state, you know, one can again become attracted to material activities. And then there are even some people, in the course of their lives, they may remember something of their past life. Srila Prabhupada mentions this in a few places in his teachings, that sometimes, you know, in India, there'd be some newspaper article about some child having some memory of some past life, and the details that are reported turn out to be true. And sometimes, a few times, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that at least some of his disciples had previous contact with devotional service. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna these things. Arjuna had asked a question: what happens to one who takes up the path of devotional service but doesn't complete the path? Is all the effort wasted? And Krishna said, no. The effort is not wasted. There's some permanent result there. The person may go to the higher material planets for some time and then come back and then take a human birth on this planet in a wealthy Vaishya family, for example, or even better, in a pious Vaishnava Brahmin family. And, you know, such a person will be spontaneously attracted to the devotional principles because of past exposure to them. So there are many pathways by which we can have come to our present bodies, but as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who has taken birth, death is certain. For one who has died, birth is certain. So, there are consequences to our activities in devotional service. Like Rupa Goswami says, that if one perfectly practices devotional service in this life, then in the next life one takes birth in Krishna's Leela within the material universes. You know, Krishna's Nitya Leela, eternal pastimes, are going on, first in one universe, then another, then another, then another, then another. When the pastimes end in one universe, they begin in another. So in that way, you know, the pastimes are continually going on, even within the material universes. So according to one explanation given by Rupa Goswami, that is that a devotee who practices devotional service at a very high level on this planet, in this universe, will go in the next life to the universe where Krishna's Leela are going on, for further training and advancement. And then after that, we'll go to Goloka Vrindavan, to the spiritual world. So that would be the ideal path. But it all depends on how we make use of the opportunity that Krishna is giving us in this life. As I said, in one sense, there's nothing to be afraid of, because Krishna tells Arjuna, Kauntiya Pratijanahi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. So my devotee is never vanquished. Somehow or other, Krishna is going to protect his devotees, guide them in devotional service. But as we can see from the story of Bhartamara, sometimes that may include taking birth in a lower species to increase the devotee's attraction for pure devotional service. Can I stop there? Anybody have any questions, comments? Yes?
Thank you, Prabhu. I have a comment and a question. The first comment is that I think later on he mentions that Bharat Maharaj, at one point, he left his family life like the she-deer, and he went to where the sages, he left his body to be in the association of devotees. So a similar, not similar, but some little incident happened like that. My wife went to visit some devotees, was knocking at the door of these devotees, and obviously there's a lot of shoes, before you enter the house. She went, when she came out, she saw a little bird on her shoes, and this bird was obviously giving the symptoms of leaving his body. It was reeling, like not able to stand up. So the devotees came out of compassion, chant Hare Krishna, put Charinamrita on the bird, and immediately after that he left his body. So that was sometimes might take it for granted, but the association of devotees is the most precious thing.
Especially, sometimes devotees see things like that right. Some animal appears to be attracted to the association of devotees in a special way, like these squirrels out here.
So that's very significant. Also in Vrindavan, I was making parikram one time, and a dog followed me for like 1 hour and a half, and he was putting away, scaring all the other dogs who wanted to bark at you, and obviously something, Now the question is, you mentioned the verse evam parampara praptam. And later on you mentioned also that anyone who just reads the translation might not necessarily be able to understand until the pure devotee like Prabhupada puts it clear. And later on you mentioned the word initiation and the karma being taken away. So there are certain group of devotees who might use this and say, you see, this is very clear that probably you don't even have to take initiation now at the present time with a new guru. I'm saying that maybe a group of devotees who think like let's say, Ritvik philosophy and say, it's very clear right here. Like, you by reading this, you know, like the translation and the purport of Prabhupada, that's enough only. Can you comment on that? That's enough. In other words, you don't have to go further to take initiation from the present.
Well, I mean, my comment would be that if you read Prabhupada often says initiation is necessary. So, and then you also have to look at his life. We follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. You know, he took initiation from his spiritual master, who also took initiation from his. So this is, you know, the normal system. If anyone reads his, just reads the teachings, they'll see that. But there's still tremendous, that doesn't mean there's no potency to just reading what he has to say. There's tremendous benefit from that. There's tremendous benefit just for having one of these books in your house and treating it respectfully. You know, Prabhupada said that. These books are like Narayan. If somebody purchases one of these books and keeps it respectfully in their house, you know, it's like they've got a deity there. You know, they're getting some transcendental benefit just by reading. Yes, there's transcendental benefit, but the result of reading, adal shraddha tata sadhusanga tata bhajana kriya. So there's progress in devotional service. Yes, there's some transcendental benefit from coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. If a person has a little bit of faith, they will associate themselves with the devotees of Lord Krishna, and then they'll take up the process of devotional service, bhajana kriya. And one of the elements of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada mentions is diksha, initiation. It's not the only element of devotional service, but if we read Prabhupada's books, he several times mentions it as a very important and essential aspect of bhajana kriya. So, us.
Thank you for taking the class on the last minute.
Yes, it is said that at any moment death can come. So at any moment Bhagavatam class can come. You
thank
may
you
be
for
asked.
Doing that. On that particular point, I think you made one particular comment which was really important, and that was that the initiation process is important because it burns one's past karma away. So in other words, that's a necessity in order to move forward, even towards this bhajana kriya, even towards any kind of devotional service, pure devotional service. That you made a comment in relationship to Sachitanoy's question or comment, that you really can't burn up your past karmic activities unless you take initiation or diksha from a pure devotee of the Lord. And that's a very important aspect. Without that, it's not possible to go back home to Godhead.
Yeah, you may be able to burn off some of it, but there's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
And it requires the mercy of Krishna's representative to absolve you. Just like a person may have a lot of debts, and they can pay off a little bit, but to get absolved from the whole thing, that requires some special action by some authority who's empowered to do that. Yeah, you might get hundreds of thousands of dollars of credit card debt or this or that. And you can pay it off, yes, you can, a little bit. But to get the whole thing wiped out of your record, that requires some action by some empowered authority.
I have one question also.
Yeah, okay.
And that was, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he preserves what we have and he carries what we lack. Now, you were explaining that Bharat Maharaj may be due to some past karma, and he was forced to have this kind of consciousness of attachment to a deer. But I'm wondering, after all his particular service that he did for Krishna, and the level that he actually achieved, which was, I believe, bhava, I'm just curious as to how this could actually happen to someone. How Krishna would allow that to happen, meaning, well, for instance, you take a look at in the Ajamil, and he called out Narayan's name, although it wasn't for Krishna, but it was for his son. And although, he did call out Narayan, but still, it would almost seem kind of like unfair that Bharat Maharaj had to be put in this kind of situation. Considering the extent of his service.
Mm-hmm. Now, the point I believe Srila Prabhupada is trying to make in this purport, it wasn't due to his past karma. And we shouldn't see devotional services like that we're doing something that guarantees us some result. Like, it's not a fruit of activity. It's something that has to be willingly and lovingly carried out at every second. And the point that Prabhupada appears to be making in this purport, my best understanding is, Krishna isn't just letting something happen to him. It's that he purposefully became addicted. He's not saying that this is the result of some past activity or that Krishna allowed. No, he purposefully neglected his devotional service. He was situated in devotional service, and not because of some past karma or anything like that, but because he purposefully neglected his devotional service. Krishna was simultaneously merciful to him and corrected him. Yeah, by putting him in the body of a deer for one life, just to increase his attachment for pure devotional service. And it appears that even in the very most advanced stages, free will is always there. Free will is always there. The ability, that has to be there in order for there to be pure love. Krishna doesn't force anybody to love him. It's not forced. So that means that free will is always there. Prabhupada said many times, the devotees would ask him, What if you go back to the spiritual world? Can you come back? He said, yes, you can. That choice is always there. Hopefully you won't make that choice because it's sort of burned into your soul what the result of it is. But, it's not that Krishna is letting something happen, or it's that he purposefully neglected. And that freedom of choice is always there. That's what it means to be marginal potency.
So what does it mean that Krishna preserves what you have and carries what you lack?
We'd have to read the purport. I haven't read it recently. But, I mean, just on the basis of my perhaps faulty recollection, if we've if we're practicing devotional service, I mean, Krishna preserves what we have. There, you know, if we make 1% advancement in this life, that 1% advancement is ours. Now, but then also, he carries what we lack. An ordinary person is limited by their karma. You know, like some people have the karma to earn millions of dollars. Some people have the karma that results in their being paupers. But whatever it is, they're limited. You know, if the person is destined to earn a certain amount of money, they may do that. If they're destined to achieve a certain position in society, they'll do that. But devotees can do things that they are not destined to do by their karma. First of all, their karma has been taken away anyways, but that's why devotees aren't limited. Or we shouldn't think that we're limited. Krishna can carry what we lack. Yeah. Okay. We are substantially over time now, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It said, better to leave people not having heard enough than having heard too much.